Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. One of the streaming services recently debuted a limited series where the residents of one house were watched by an anonymous person that tormented them. As the plot progressed, the family became focused on watching others in their attempt to figure out who was watching them. Interestingly, that series was based on true events, though I'm sure there was a lot of creative license taken in the development of the script. How would any of us respond if this happened to us in our home? I'm thinking we would probably be alarmed and take extra precautions to try and protect ourselves and our family. Imagine how you might feel if your house was compromised, if somebody not welcomed by you had an easy way to get into your house. What if that somebody presented a physical risk to you or your family? Would you be able to easily sleep at night, or would you be anxious just awaiting for that person? That very reason is one of the reasons why in older cities, you tend to see walls surrounding the oldest parts of those cities. Even New York City has its Wall Street, named for the location of where the old city wall was. Cities like Jerusalem had walls around it, and when Nehemiah was given the opportunity by Artaxerxes to return to Jerusalem, one of the first things Nehemiah wanted to do was to rebuild the wall. Nehemiah 2, verse 17. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we may be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will you rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we, his servants, will arise and build. But ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. Rebuilding the wall became a concern to those who not only enjoyed the destruction of Jerusalem, but who wanted to keep it that way. Even though there was opposition to the rebuilding of the wall, rebuilding continued. Nehemiah 4, verse 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth, and took great indignation, and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria, and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. In the process of rebuilding the wall, threats were made. So Nehemiah, being ever vigilant, not only had people rebuilding the wall, but people at the wall ready to defend the city from attack. Nehemiah 4, verse 13. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, Be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, and your daughters, your wives, and your houses. And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. While none of us may have the situation in our life that the family in the Streaming Limited series had in theirs, or the challenges faced by those rebuilding the wall during Nehemiah's time, spiritually, it is a different matter. All of us spiritually have somebody watching us who seeks an opportunity to bring us harm. Just like we would take extra precautions to protect ourselves and our family in physical matters, we must take extra precautions to protect ourselves and our family from the harm that Satan would so like to bring to us. Peter tells us that to protect ourselves from Satan, we need to be sober and vigilant. Let's read what Peter wrote in 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The Greek word used by Peter for vigilant is the same Greek word that is translated as watch, as in watch and pray. That word is Strong's Greek word 1127, Gregorio, meaning to be vigilant and watchful, as if looking out for danger. Watching and praying are sometimes linked to prophecy. In teaching the disciples about the last days, Jesus first showed that while we may have a good idea about the nearness of the last days, only God the Father knows exactly when this will be. Let's read what is written in Matthew 24, verse 32. Now, learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Jesus then went on to show that as the last days approach, with the return of Jesus, that people will be busy with everyday life, just like the people of Noah's day were busy with everyday life, not realizing the incredible loss of human life that would soon be happening. Verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Jesus then told the disciples to watch, to be vigilant, because we do not know exactly when Jesus will return, and to always be ready for the return of Jesus. Verse 42. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. While it might seem on the one hand we are to be vigilant to protect ourselves from Satan, and on the other to be ready for the return of Jesus, these are intertwined and help us to focus on what God expects of us. And then Jesus explained what it is that God expects of us. That when Jesus returns, we are found so doing. In other words, when Jesus Christ returns, we are already doing what God expects of us. In doing that, we are also vigilant against the trickery of Satan. What we can't do is develop a concept that Jesus isn't returning when we expected him to return, and to use that delay as a reason to do anything less than what God expects of us, including treating others in ways God would not expect. Verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. And if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The concept of watching and praying is so important that it was one of the final concepts taught by Jesus on the night he was arrested before the crucifixion. Jesus taught that watching and praying, being vigilant and prayerful, was needed to avoid temptation, showing that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Matthew 26, verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then he saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. God, who cannot be tempted with evil, also does not tempt any person with evil. Being vigilant and prayerful is what we can do to avoid temptation and the penalties that come with it. James 1, verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. We know we are to watch and pray, but what we watch and pray about will vary from person to person. The history of humanity has brought various challenges to the people who lived at different moments of time. Even people who live at the same time have different experiences based on the circumstances of their life, such as where you live, how much money you have, your gender, the color of your skin, just to name a few. As a child, we have all probably once said, "That's not fair," only to be told by our parents that life isn't fair. It is in that unfair world and the circumstances that unfold around our individual lives that we are called by God. Some of us will have a lighter burden to bear, and some of us will have a heavier burden to bear. Some of us may be called early in our life, and others may be called on their deathbed. Each of us will receive that same hope, the promise of salvation and eternal life. Matthew 20, verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, "Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you." And they went their way. And he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, "Why stand ye here all the day idle?" They say unto him, "Because no man hath hired us." He saith unto them, "Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that ye shall receive." So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, "Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first." And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good men of the house, saying, "These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day." And he answered one of them and said, "Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen." Each of us hope for the same reward of eternal life and experience life somewhat differently. As a result, what we watch and pray over will also be somewhat different, but the gift of eternal life waits for each of us who endures to the end. If we do not endure to the end, it is not because of anything God did, nor is it directly the result of anything Satan did. If we do not endure to the end, it is because we did not watch and pray, and because of that, we allow temptation to take hold in our life, and in its ultimate form, the result will be death. In Revelation, God pleads with the church at Sardis to watch, to be vigilant, to hold fast to what they've been taught, and where necessary, to repent for turning from that. Let's read Revelation chapter 3, starting with verse 1. "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast, and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. In the parable of the 10 virgins, Jesus showed how 5 were wise and how 5 were foolish. He then showed how only the 5 wise virgins entered the wedding supper, with the foolish ones locked out. Jesus used this parable to teach the lesson of vigilance. We must be constantly vigilant in our faith, or we risk our salvation. Matthew 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all of those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Jesus compared himself to a person taking a long journey, leaving instructions behind to be vigilant. He showed again in this parable that nobody will know when the master of the house will return, and then listed just about every part of the day and night, with the exception of the middle of the day when most people tend to be awake. Jesus expects us to be vigilant at all times, not just when it is convenient for us. Mark 13, verse 34. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house, and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock-crowing, or in the morning, lest come suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you all, watch. Paul taught of the need for vigilance. When he spoke to the elders at Ephesus, he told them to be vigilant about their responsibilities because in the absence of the apostle, people would seek to distort Paul's message to draw people away after them. Paul diligently and vigilantly taught this concept for over 3 years and did so that no person lose out on salvation. Acts 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. To the Colossians, Paul also wrote of the need for vigilance and to continue in prayer, both to be done in thanksgiving. Gratitude coupled with prayer and vigilance goes a long way as we look to the kingdom of God. Colossians 4, verse 1. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch. In the same with thanksgiving, withal praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. The Thessalonians were reminded by Paul of the return of Jesus, reinforcing for them that when Jesus Christ returns, most people will be taken by surprise. We have not been called to be surprised by the return of Jesus and must be spiritually awake and vigilant. We cannot allow ourselves to hit that spiritual snooze button. If we want to put on that breastplate of faith and love and the helmet that is the hope of salvation, we must remain spiritually awake and vigilant, remembering that we are called to salvation. And it would be a waste if when salvation came, we were spiritually asleep. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye all are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Even the book of Proverbs uses the analogy of sleep and tells us those who are asleep will find themselves in poverty. Vigilance is needed in all aspects of our life. Proverbs 6, verse 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Get a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Those who are vigilant can be described as prudent, carefully considering what is before them. Those who are quick to act without having all the facts will find themselves in difficulty. Whether we act with vigilance or whether we act with reckless abandon, riches, honor, and life come through humility and by having an awesome respect for God. Proverbs 22, verse 3. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Even when it comes to physical possessions, we are told to diligently know what we own. This means we must act with vigilance to protect what we physically have. If we must act with vigilance to protect what we physically have, how much more should we with vigilance protect what we spiritually have? Proverbs 27, verse 23. Be thou diligent to know the states of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. For riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation. The hay appeareth, and the tender grass showeth itself, and the herbs of the mountains are gathered. The lambs are for thy clothing, and the goats are for the price of the field. And thou shalt have goat's milk enough for thy food, for the food of thy household, and for the maintenance for thy maidens. Having vigilance does not mean we abandon faith. It is through vigilance we protect the faith we have. When David wrote the 23rd Psalm and wrote about walking through the valley of the shadow of death, how do you think he walked? Do you think he walked with reckless abandon or with vigilance? In walking in the valley of the shadow of death, when David said he would fear no evil, David did not claim God removed the evil around him. All David claimed was that he would fear no evil because God's rod and staff comforted him. David was a shepherd and protected his sheep as much as God protects us. And yet even David would be unable to protect any sheep that willingly got close to predatory animals if that sheep were a good distance away. Even if a sheep, because it wasn't paying attention to the animals around it, ended up close to a predatory animal, the same would likely happen. We cannot allow ourselves, through spiritual inattention, to get close to Satan or the demons. We have to remain spiritually vigilant. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Paul reminded the Romans of the need to remain spiritually awake, knowing that we are each day coming closer to the return of Jesus Christ. He told the Romans it was high time to awake out of sleep. He wasn't telling them to rise from physical sleep or from being dead, but to be spiritually vigilant, to purposely live as we have been called to live, avoiding pitfalls that we so often see in this world while we focus on the spiritual calling we have been given through Jesus Christ. Romans 13, verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. We must remain spiritually vigilant, because even though we have the promise of eternal life, just like Adam and Eve and the serpent who deceived them, we will encounter others who will try to spiritually seduce us to come between us and Jesus Christ. With vigilance, we must protect against that. 1 John 2, verse 25. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. But these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. The Galatians were reminded of the need to stay the course, to not become weary in well-doing, to do good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of faith. That all requires vigilance, because all it takes is a thought, and through spiritual vigilance, through prayer, we are in a better place to protect our thoughts. Galatians 6, verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, then shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. We are not promised an easy life, but we are told that God will provide for our needs. Jesus reminded the disciples of the need to seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and then our needs will be met. We cannot allow the distractions of this physical life to diminish our spiritual vigilance. And with this promise, we are given another reason to remain prayerful. Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It is through prayer and vigilance we are able to do what Peter wrote, to live in unity, to have compassion with each other, to treat especial others who are called, to have pity where needed, and to be courteous, to live so that others receive a blessing, knowing we have the blessing that comes with eternal life, knowing that God pays attention to those who are vigilant, who seek him in prayer. 1 Peter 3, verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, and ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and let his lips, that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil, and do good. Let him seek peace, and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience that, whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. In some of the last words attributed to Jesus in the book of Revelation, right before the battle of Armageddon, Jesus reminds us that he will come as a thief when we do not expect it. He then reminds us that those who are spiritually vigilant will be blessed. And as we have seen today, coupled with that spiritual vigilance is prayer. Revelation 16, verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Concluding his first letter to the Corinthians, Paul wrote these words to the church. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quick you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. We are to be spiritually vigilant, to be bold in the faith, to be spiritually strong as a warrior. Through prayer, we maintain that spiritual vigilance. Through study of the Bible, we maintain that spiritual vigilance. And in all that we do spiritually, we do all things in love. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.